This is LAML Radio, LEGO Talk Podcast, Episode 45, Brick World 2008. Well, welcome everybody to LAML Radio. I'm your host James Wadsworth. Brick World 2008 is just around the corner. In fact, it's tomorrow. So this is the episode that we're going to dedicate wholly to Brick World, just like the last episode. And unfortunately, this won't be running in the hour that I had originally hoped it would. Mike Huffman had a couple interviews lined up, but life got in the way, and I'm sure you've noticed that I haven't been too active these past couple weeks. School and soccer and just general life have gotten in the way, so apologies, but hopefully the post-Brick World coverage will make up for it. That's not to say we don't have some great content for you today, starting with Mike Huffman's interview with, I'll let him introduce it.
This is Mike Huffman, and I'm interviewing today Esther, and it's Wallner?
Yes.
Esther Wallner. And did you go to Brick World last year?
I did.
Okay, was that your first LEGO convention?
It was. In fact, my story is a little bit, I think, atypical in that the way I came back into LEGO as an adult, my youngest son, with everybody else having recently emptied the nest, needed a playmate and asked me if I would play LEGO with him. That was like more than 4 years ago. And so since we're close to Mall of America and the LEGO Imaginarium, I was able to access very nice quantities of LEGO, and I discovered BrickLink via eBay. But that was the extent of my connection with the online community, and because I had no connection with the online community, I just wasn't exposed to the AFOL at all and didn't know it was out there for all those years. So I saw the advertisement for Brick World in the LEGO magazine and decided that I would ask my non-LEGO significant other if my son and I could pop over there on Sunday for the public day. And he read the article and said, heck no, you're going for the whole convention. So we did, and we had an absolute blast, and I just literally discovered this whole world that I had no idea was out there. And then as sort of a coattail to Brick World, Steve DeKramer then founded our Twinlog group, and so I discovered being able to be a part of a lug at the same time. And so I have a very short history of actually being part of the AFOL community, and it actually did start at Brick World last year.
Very cool and exciting. So what were some of the things about last year's convention that blew your mind as a new attendee?
Well, it was an interesting mix. On the one hand, I was extremely intimidated. All these people were running around, seeming like they knew what they were doing, and just doing things that I'd never dreamed a person could do with LEGO. And at the same time, I made a very good decision, which is I wanted to come early and just hang out in the ballroom and watch people build and assemble stuff. That was a really good choice. I learned so much just from being there. But at the same time, like I say, I was kind of intimidated. I didn't really, as far as talking to people and asking questions, I was pretty, hesitant to do that, which is one of the reasons why I wanted to be the newbie coordinator this year, because I figured I wasn't the only one who felt that way. The other thing that was interesting to me is that I found the culture of Brick World really compelling. The sense of family and connectedness and supporting one another and encouraging one another was very strong. And I got the impression that while that certainly happens to some degree at other adult events, that just the personalities of the people who had founded Brick World, Adam and Brian, and the kind of mix they had put together, a team, really focused so much on that they sort of, raised the bar, I think. And that was really a cool experience for me.
Now, you said you're the newbie coordinator this year. Now, what responsibilities does that entail, and how did you become a coordinator for Brick World?
Like I said, I just really had gotten so much out of it last year that I really wanted to give something back. So I kind of was pondering that question when we got to the point in the convention last year where there was a feedback session, and Brian and Adam really worked hard to get people to share feedback and to do that in small group and as a large group and to really elicit responses. And as I heard comments and I pondered my own experience, I got to thinking that one thing that I might have to offer, because, you know, everybody else is so experienced in the AFOL community that you sort of become blind to or forget about what it's like to come in as someone who hasn't been in that community forever and ever. And you forget about what kinds of things would be helpful to feel like you can get connected and be a part. So I just emailed Brian once they had the 2008 Brick World website up and running, and it said, you know, contact us if you have any questions or whatever. So I sent him an email and said, I'd like to help out this year, and here's a thought, what do you think? And kind of gave him a list of things that I might be able to do so on, and he very enthusiastically emailed me back and said, great, let's do it. You can be the new attendee coordinator, and that'll kind of be your cap. And that's the rest, you know, that's how I got started.
Now, can you share with us the wonderful idea that you just posted to the group about the buttons?
Sure. One of the things that I noticed during the public days, last year I helped out with traffic control a little bit during the public days, doing things like pulling the chain cordons that kind of tend to inch their way up closer and closer to the displays back, and just sort of, you know, helping route people around through the displays. I could tell people had questions and didn't know who to ask, and if I happened to be pulling the cord out around a certain display, they would invariably ask me, and I knew absolutely nothing about it. So, and the coordinators, even though they tend to be very knowledgeable and well-marked in their coordinator shirts, are really busy coordinating. And so, you know, they have their own lists of responsibilities. So I really felt like to have people, the job it was to be marked, clearly marked and available to people, particularly to the public, but also to conventioners, to just answer questions about various displays would be really an inviting and helpful thing, and would help kind of pull people further who were there for public day and just looking into their interest in the Lego hobby. So I had these large buttons printed up that says, I'm a Brickspert, ask me about, and then there's one for castles, there's one for a great ball contraption, which says GBC on it. So already people are going to say, well, what's GBC? You know, so it's a kind of a conversation starter. And the AMCP and so on. So hopefully those will get the public more willing to ask questions. And then also the rest of us will sort of know who's got some background in a certain thing, and we can route people to each other in their various areas of knowledge.
Yes. I think it's a wonderful idea, personally.
Thanks.
Let's go on to tips. If I'm a first-time attendee to the convention, what would you tell me? What should I do?
Well, that's actually a question that I've been wanting to put out to the community and gather more input from other viewpoints about. But what I would actually tell people is, I think people have this feeling like they have to have a mock and it has to be really good and, you know, whatever. You know, I was so glad that I just made the decision the first year just to go and to sit in on the sessions, to sign up for the classes, to hang out and watch people build and learn and just soak it all in. And so I would really encourage people, don't feel like you have to be at a certain level with your Lego hobby to participate as a conventioneer. Come in and jump in and just relax and enjoy it.
Now, what if I have a 12-year-old that really wants to go? Should I go as a to be a part of the convention, or should I just try the public day first? What would you recommend?
You know, I really think it depends on the person. Emmett was, my son was 13 last year when I brought him, and I would say he was kind of close to the bottom of the age of really being, I think a 12-year-old could participate, depending on the kid, and depending on their interest and commitment to the hobby. He was so into the hobby that, you know, he was well able to sit through sessions and to be respectful of not touching things and, you know, and sort of supervise himself and just stand and watch people and so on. So I really think it depends on sort of the commitment level and maturity level of the child. I also want to encourage people to think about their own needs, because it can be very frustrating for an adult to bring a child along to something that they, in fact, themselves want to really get a lot out of, and then realize that they're very frustrated and wish they hadn't brought the child because they're not getting the chance to do what they want to do. So you've got to weigh out several factors, I think, in, you know, in your own situation before you make that decision.
And it's very interesting. This particular event, I think we had a lot more younger people than we ever had before.
And again, I think that part of that is the philosophy that Brian and Adam have about Lego. One of the things that I really appreciate about them is saying, you know, one of our responsibilities as an AFOL community is to nurture this hobby that we love so much in the next generation.
Yes.
And I think that really came through in the way that they planned the event and the way that they got it out there in the public.
So something a little less serious. What themes do you like to build in, if you like to build into a theme, and give us a little bit of stuff that you like to do with Lego?
Adventures is definitely one of my favorite themes, and now with the addition of the Indiana Jones stuff, you know, I'm really enjoying that. Castle is also a favorite theme of mine. I actually have a minor in medieval history and really enjoy seeing some of the building that really expert builders have done in reproducing very, very authentically some real castles and so on. And then I have to admit that I like Belleville. I don't use the big figs. I pass those on to my granddaughter, but I do the pieces and I like the pink and I like the frou-frou-y stuff. So, and it's one of the things that I, in sort of corresponding with people a little bit through email and on the web have discovered is that there are a lot of what I refer to as closet Belleville builders out there, because since it's sort of a juniorized theme, a lot of people don't want to admit that they actually build with Belleville, and that's one of the reasons, along with wanting to, you know, when we look at, like I said, encouraging new people into the hobby and in the next generation. One of the things that, as you know, we discussed as coordinators was the whole role of female fans of Lego who are in such a minority in the hobby, and ways to sort of encourage that group. And so one of the things that we ended up with is to go ahead and risk having a Belleville contest that I hope people will really get excited about. I built two exhibition pieces for the contest table that are very sort of traditional in that they use a Belleville base plate and use a lot of the castle pieces. But I've always wanted to try steampunk and never have. So I thought, I got to try a Belleville steampunk because, you know, they just, like, go together somehow. So I did putz around a little with that and came up with a very a fun piece. Like I say, I'm far from an expert builder. Since I didn't interface with the adult community for so many years, I was sort of doing, you know, sort of recreating the wheel, reinventing the wheel in my building all the time. And so I don't have the skill level. I don't think that, you know, most people who have been building as long as I have do. But I do enjoy it, and I do see progress in myself, so that's always encouraging. But those are kind of my favorite themes, and we talked about doing an adventure display this year and just didn't have the time to pull it together, but that's definitely on the table for future Brick World, and there will be, of course, the Jurassic Park display this year for the adventure lovers.
Oh, yeah.
Our layout, I love doing landscaping and layout, which I think is in part because it dovetails well with, my son likes me to do it. I build the structures and the scenery and so on, and then he builds the vehicles and designs the minifigs and so on for his adventures. So we started out with a card table, and then we went to a dining table, and then we added more leaves and added more leaves, and when we ran out of a way to add leaves, we went to a ping pong table, and now it's a ping pong table and a dining table, and my husband says he thinks it's about time for us to get a zip code for it. So that's our Lego Island, which is an adventure type. It's a layout, you know, we can change whether we put castles on it or dinosaurs on it or whatever, but it's basically a large landscaped layout, and that's what I really enjoy doing.
Awesome. Sorry, I still can't get over Belleville steampunk. I'm sure you're going to have a whole group dedicated to it next, after this podcast. Watch for it on Flickr. I'm sure you'll find 15 or 16,000 people start posting Belleville steampunk.
That'd be great, and I'm sure they can do it way better than I did, so it'd be really fun to see. I've also thought how much fun it would be to cross Belleville with things like the Aqua Raiders or the, you know, there's several themes that I keep thinking, you know, you put that together with Belleville and you could really come up with something pretty interesting. So I encouraged my twin leg. I said, anybody there out there want to try doing a Belleville comic book character, you know, have a Bellmobile and, you know, the Bell Cave, you know, whatever.
The unique thing about me is all my nieces and nephew, I've got three nieces and one nephew. So I've been forced to buy a lot more pink Lego than I ever had before. And to be honest, my wife now makes me go out and buy pink Lego for her, so.
All right. Yes. That's what
I have a new respect and new love for it, so.
Well, I've really appreciated Joe Menno's work in Brick Journal in highlighting one of the interesting things that I think is very true that comes out there is women builders build differently than men do. Of course, that's a gross overgeneralization, and I realize it's totally politically incorrect, but the attention to detail and certain things, the way they use color, and there are other aspects that just tend to result in a different interest in a different product outcome. I hope that, you know, in the coming years, the Lego company will be able to sort of tap into that and realize that there is a really unexplored market out there to a great degree.
Yes. So all of you female fan of Lego out there, get a hold of Esther at the Brick World Convention. And,
that's right.
Start a new theme of just female fans. Did you want to take a few seconds and talk about the mansion build?
Sure, that'd be great. Several things motivated us to try the mansion build. One of them was actually the female fan of Lego issue. The furniture is just not something that Lego has put into its sets historically, and we thought it would be really fun to open up to the adult Lego community the opportunity to do some experimenting with furniture design and really focus more on the interior of the buildings. A second aspect was the whole aspect of scale and commitment sort of to actually be able to contribute something. I can't conceive of how many hours it takes people to build some of those GBC contraptions or some of the castle setups, some of the train setups. We wanted something that would be a collaborative project that people could participate in on a much smaller scale. And as Kevin and I, and with Joe Menno's help, Kevin Lauer is the coordinator for that project. And as we were coming up with a standard, you know, we could, the builds that we did were taking, you know, 2 hours. And that was, you know, without having the standard exactly squared away yet. So it's something that people can pop into a corner of their suitcase or their car and have room to bring and have time to build. And that was, you know, that was a big piece of why we wanted to come up with something new.
I think it's a brilliant idea. I think over in 10,000stein, year before last, they did something similar, but on a different scale. It was basically little rooms, but rooms dedicated to certain themes. So you had classic space, you had Blacktron, you had... I'm sorry?
I said that sounds really fun, yeah.
I like that you guys kind of expanded on that and turned it into its own theme. It's almost like a cross between a vignette, and yet it's kind of self-contained. And it's contained well enough, like you said, when you do travel, because you can just pick it up, throw it into your travel bag, and not have to worry about it being all in pieces by the time you get to your destination. So I love it from that perspective, that it's small, self-contained, but yet there's some wonderful buildings inside, or potential for wonderful building inside. And like
right.
You said, the time savings, too.
Right. And they really are sturdy, because of the brick plate rather than just a plate or a base plate being the underside of it. They really are sturdy little guys when you get them put together. And we do really hope, we're looking really for a combination, I think, of wild and crazy room ideas and very conventional, what you would see in a mansion. I'm excited and looking forward to seeing and very much hope that somebody will come up with a great library. And also, I'd love to see a billiard room. Also, it'd be fun to see some office-type themes, you know, to have somebody do like what an architect's office might look like or things like that. So I hope we get a nice mix of things like that with some really really fun, very imaginative. Those of you who have been out on the web and seen our standard, you saw the Indiana Jones themed room that I did. So I hope we get as well some of that kind of thing. I suppose I'm feeling this sense of obligation that I really ought to come up with a Belleville room, you know, before Brick World. So that's probably next on my build list.
Other things like the grand ballroom or the great staircase.
Right.
Some other good. I mean, you could actually pull in a lot of comedy things if you go the office route with Office Space and
right.
Tie in some movies into that too.
Yeah, see, speaking of movies, you could come up with some interesting, you know, historic rooms too. I'm not thinking of any at the moment, but there must be, you know, just like there are classic lines in movies, there must be sort of classic. I the only one I can think of is Doris Day in one of her movies. There's a scene where she puts too much soap in the wash machine and ends up with this laundry room, you know, up to her eyeballs in bubbles. So there must be some good scenes like that that people could, that are based on a room.
Well, do you have anything else that you'd like to add?
Do want to really encourage people to come, of course. And I really want to encourage people to try. I understand that sometimes it takes a little encouraging for people to try some of the newer things that are offered at various conventions. I actually emailed someone recently and said, I'm getting kind of worried because on Lugnet, nobody's even posted a comment or a reply of any kind to the Belleville contest posting. So, so you know, we are sweating a little bit about the new ones and really hoping that people will take the plunge. And when I first started building with Belleville, my son's friends would come over and they'd say, wow, where did you get that cool part? Where did you get those cool crystals? Where did you get, you know? And I'd say, sorry, guys, it was a Belleville set. And they would be so crushed. So, yeah. Now, thanks to BrickLink, you don't have to actually buy a Belleville set in order to get the cool Belleville parts. Speaking of NMRA, one of the other things that I've been working on as the new attendee coordinator is a glossary of acronyms and terms that will be printed out and included. It probably won't be in the program. We'll probably have it as a separate stapled set of sheets. But it's one of the things that that newbies really have trouble with, and also that our extra event coordinator, Barbara, has applauded for the non-LEGO significant others to have a copy of that. Because, you know, you just take it for granted. People start throwing these letters around, and when you're new to the hobby, you're really quite clueless.
My wife's been supportive enough that she manages to pick up half the acronyms, so it's funny. And she's even getting to the point where she can tell the difference between LEGO and non-LEGO just by feel.
Oh, wow.
Because she's been infected by me so much.
Okay. Well, I have to admit that I wasn't happy when they switched plastic. I could tell right away the first time I opened a set in the new plastic.
Yeah.
It was like, what happened? This feels like not LEGO. But get used to it.
Yeah.
The new colors have been, I think people have been really enjoying, you know, for so many years there were just the five or whatever it was colors, so it's been a fun addition.
Joining me now is Kyle Peterson of BrickForge. It's good to talk with you again, Kyle. Welcome back.
Hey, thanks, James. Good to talk with you again, too.
So BrickWorld 08 is almost here, and you guys over at BrickForge, I believe, have been playing quite a large part in it this year. I believe you're one of the sponsors.
That's right. For the second year in a row, we're a Black Plate sponsor, and we're happy to donate a few things to the event and even act as a coordinator in some respect. And we're looking forward to displaying 20 new products to the public this year, and hopefully they'll enjoy that.
So can you give us some hint as to what the new products will be?
Well, I've been dropping hints, I guess you could say, between my Flickr account and on some of the forums as to what they are. To a lot of people, they're a secret. To some, they're not. We have a lot of Roman items, and I think that was to be expected. We've been talking about that for a while, and it's something that we've been talking about for a while but kind of got sidetracked with a few other items. I think once Brick World comes and goes and people take photos at the event and they start showing up online and as well as on our online store after the event, we'll have a much better idea. I don't believe anybody will be disappointed. We also have a more modern weapon coming out, and we also have some a modern helmet and modern space armor, which we're just calling Space Marine Helmet and Space Marine Armor. I think a lot of people are going to enjoy that as well.
So is Brick World kind of like the main launching point for you guys in the year?
I suppose it just tends to work out that way. Projects always take longer than you think, and the past 2 years in a row, we kind of hit with the animals last year and with the new project this year. They just kind of hit at the exact same time Brick World was showing up, and we figured, well, let's just go ahead and make that our launching point. And I think a lot of people get excited when you launch something at a show, and they may be the first people to see it. And I think that's, I mean, there's no plan to it. It just kind of works itself out that way, and so be it.
For those who aren't going to Brick World, how soon will they be up online for them to get their hands on?
Well, those who are familiar with ordering from BrickForge understand that we currently go through an ordering form, and we're changing that so we have a brand new e-commerce shopping cart engine, and that's going to allow people to add things to their basket, and once they check out, they'll be able to pay with a credit card or PayPal directly. That's going to take me about a week or two to launch after Brick World. And once that's up, we're happy to say that all the new items will be online and available to order through the new store instead of the old order form.
Will you guys be doing any Brick World exclusives that people should be looking forward to? Or?
Yeah, actually, registered attendees are getting an exclusive steel, dark gray, in other words, Space Marine set. And that's going to include our Space Marine helmet, a Space Marine armor, and then a visor piece that pops into the helmet, so you can actually, once we come out with different colors, you can swap in different color visors for different color helmets. So all registered attendees will be getting a set of the steel dark gray armor. As far as just regular attendees, we will have some other items there that people haven't seen. We do have a dark tan jersey print cow. And by that, I mean we've actually had some jersey features screen printed, just much like our Holstein cow. That'll be available at the event. And then, of course, the new and some of the old items and new colors will also be available at the show.
So those who want to check you out at Brick World, whereabouts can they find you?
Well, the Brick World gurus kind of change the display here and there. All I know is I may be close to the castle display. But we will have a banner up, so just kind of look for the BrickForge logo. Or if you see a whole bunch of bins of neat little parts, that's probably where we're at. And we'll also have some trinkets for sale. We have an enamel pin with the BrickForge logo and BrickWorld 2008 is something you can take home to commemorate the event. We also have silicone wristbands, or as I like to call them, brick bands. And the only way I can describe them is they got neat little dots, or as we call them, studs on them with the BrickForge name, and it's something that kids can wear around and take with them. And we'll also have some patches for sale and even some BrickForge hockey jerseys that if somebody feels like they want to take something special from the event, and there may not be anything directly related to Brick World. They can certainly grab a Brick Forge jersey or some of our other spiffs and take home the show off to their friends.
Hockey, why'd you choose that sport?
Well, hockey is my favorite sport, and anybody who knows me will tell you that I actually have several different hockey jerseys from favorite teams. My favorite team is the Blackhawks, and seeing how Brick World's in Chicago, I just felt compelled to make a hockey jersey with our Brick Forge logo and the Angry Dwarf Smith on it.
As a Canadian, I can't stand the sport, but anyways, we're not talking about that. I know you'll be in charge of the charity auction. How will that be working out?
Well, last year we had a silent auction. Due to space constraints, we had to have it in an auxiliary room, which wasn't very large. And I think due to people being tired, we didn't have much of a turnout, but we were still able to raise $900, which Brick World was matching evenly, so for a total of $1,800. So I thought that was fairly successful. We played somewhat of a role in that last year, and we volunteered to take over, if you will, and do it this year. We're having a live auction, and it's going to be in a larger room, so hopefully there's going to be more people walking around and involved and seeing what's going on. We already have several very cool items that are going to go up for sale. We actually have some auction paddles, so if you want to participate in the charity auction, be sure to grab a paddle from the registration desk, and I believe that's going to be held Friday evening at 7 o'clock, but that time could change. So just be aware that the charity auction will be Friday evening, and it's a great chance to pick up some neat goodies.
And if people want to do some bidding online, is that an option this year? Or?
No, that's probably going to be a future option. It's something I'd personally like to see. I'd also like to see the items being cataloged online so people can see what's being contributed before the event. But, of course, as things go, getting ready for events, getting pictures of these things is probably the last thing on people's minds. So being able to get that information ahead of time is a little tough, but I would like to take it to the level of being able to bid online, assuming that I'm a coordinator for the next few years.
Well, Kyle, it's been great having you on, and I look forward to talking with you once again when the dust is settled on the event.
Yeah, me too. It'll be a great time to recap and go over maybe some specifics about Brick World and Brick Forge and perhaps the mocks that we see and other things related to the hobby.
So joining us now via the Skype phone is Enigma, that is Badger, the official spokesperson for Brick Arms.
Great to be back.
We just spoke with Kyle from Brick Forge, and he said that they will have some new and exclusive items for Brick World attendees. What about Brick Arms? What do you guys have planned for Brick World?
Yeah, Brick Arms actually has some will have some really, really exciting things planned as well. I don't want to go into specifics just to take away the surprise from everybody, but I can say that there are several new items as well as some a few new minifigures. He's actually going to be debuting for the first time at Brick World, and a few of them are going to be Brick World exclusives. In terms of the items that are going to be for sale, I don't want to say particularly what they are, but I will say that they will give Brick Arms the edge in terms of being something exciting that people haven't seen from Brick Arms before. Also, there's going to be more than a few prototype items that Will's debuting for the first time that actually won't be available for sale, but actually for people that come up to the Brick Arms booth and talk to us and seem excited about Brick Arms, we might be able to give them a special treat for coming by. I'll also be walking the Brick Arms floor. With a bag that has some prototypes in it. So if you see a guy walking around with a bag that says Brick Arms on it, please feel free to walk up to me, and I'll see what I can do about, you know, giving you something, a special treat to take home from Brick Arms.
So how do you guys view Brick World in terms of debuting items? Do you kind of set certain items aside and have a big launch for it, or?
Will actually, from the moment, actually even before Series 3 was released, was starting work on new items, and actually with his home CNC machine and being able to make prototype items in his home, actually it's really exciting for areas like this where we can interact with fans directly and show them, especially designs that are still works in progress, to really get their feedback on them and get, see that they're excited. Two new items, we actually just put together the Spy Carbine Pistol and the Golden Gun that right now are going to be exclusive prizes for the Spy Minifig contest we're running on the Brick Arms forums, are actually also going to be available at the Brick World in some way. We're not quite sure the specifics yet how they're going to be out there, but there are things that people are going to be able to see and sort of get a taste for before we do a full release on the Brick Arms forum site. And there's also a couple new items that we're debuting as full release items at Brick World as well. So it's just sort of a way for, because there is so much press and because there's so many fans there out there, it's really just a great way to interact with the whole community at one time.
So will you guys be taking input at the convention at all or anything like that?
Oh, yeah, completely. And, in fact, we've worked up, and there's going to be an area of the Brick Arms booth where actually anyone who comes up is going to have the chance to fill out a full survey about Brick Arms, just sort of what they like about Brick Arms and particularly what they'd like to see up in the future. We also have a list of items that we've sort of been kicking around behind the scenes at Brick Arms for a while, and we're really curious to see what people would like to see. So then we would fill out what items they'd most like to see from Brick Arms in the future. And with just some discussion, we'll see what we can do about making those accessories that we produce.
So you're going to be walking around the floor, you said, but where will the booth be, do you know?
I don't know. I know Kyle had mentioned it's close to his. I'm not exactly sure where it is on the floor plan.
So possibly near the castle display. All right. So it's been great to get you quickly on here before the show.
Thanks for having me back, and I'm really looking forward to seeing everybody at Brick World. And please, if anyone's interested about Brick Arms or wants to see some new items that we got, I really encourage them to come by the booth. Will also is going to have some displays about the equipment that he uses to produce the home items. I know a lot of people have expressed some interest in seeing that stuff, so we'll have some prototype molds to show people.
That'll be interesting. Well, I look forward to getting you back on to find out how it all went.
Oh, certainly. I'll be glad to come back.
You've been listening to LML Radio. To find out more information and subscribe, visit radio.lml.org. If you have any feedback or comments, you can email podcast@lml.org or comment on our blog, which can be found at radio.lml.org. Please remember that LML Radio is not affiliated with the LEGO Group of Companies in any way, shape, or form. The official LEGO website can be found at lego.com. Until next time...
Rick on.